Continues tonight in Chicago with rounds 2 and 3. The proceedings began last night as expected, with the Buccaneers selecting Jameis Winston with a top pick overall. The Rams were one of the surprises of the first round, taking Georgia running back Todd Gurley 10th. He's coming off a torn ACL. Head coach Jeff Fisher said on the Jim Rome show they were happy, but now they're focused on who's next.
The first round's over. Now we've got time to take a deep breath. And there was time after the draft was completely done last night. There was a little time for celebration, but we're back at staring at this board. You know, it seems like we've been staring at this board for weeks, and so we're back at it again. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens here this evening.
Baseball this afternoon at Wrigley Field, top of the third, no score between the Cubs and the Brewers. John Lester still looking for his first win as a member of the Cubs. The Mets host the Nationals tonight. This time last week, the Mets were riding high with an 11-game winning streak. Since then, they've dropped 5 of 7. Matt Harvey will take the mound tonight, but manager Terry Collins said they need more than that.
We got off such a good start. I mean, the last 7 games have been a little disappointing, but we'll pick it up, and we got to get back out there and get after it, and we got to do the things that we did when we were playing well, and one of them is not walking guys, and one of them is catching the baseball.
Max Scherzer will start for the Nationals. And the Reds, Homer Bailey, his season is over. The Reds announced that he'll undergo Tommy John surgery. The red-hot Astros go for their 8th in a row against the Mariners. NBA, the Hawks try to finish off the Nets up 3-2. 2 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Lightning and Canadiens face off in Montreal. The Blackhawks host the Wild. I'm Rich Ackerman.
This is Pharrell on the Bench. I'm headed to Vegas for Mayweather-Pacquiao-Allison tonight at 10 and tomorrow at 4 Eastern right here on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zinert with your community calendar, brought to you by GroundShuttle.com. Christ United Methodist Church is having a crawfish boil tomorrow benefiting Lori, Billy, and Sarah Drum, Texas missionaries living in Spain. Tickets are $35. Children 10 and under eat free. Buy tickets at drumsforchrist.org/crawfish. Nominations are now being accepted for the 11th annual Aggie 100. Qualified Aggie-owned or Aggie-led firms are encouraged to nominate their firms online at aggie100.com/nominate. It's once again time for the New Baden Jamboree. Tomorrow, see Franklin's own Fence Post Pickers. Hamburgers go on sale at 5 and the show starts at 6. GroundShuttle.com offers frequent and reliable shuttles between Bryan College Station and both Houston airports. Commute in comfort with luxury shuttles with reclining seats, power outlets, and Wi-Fi coming soon. GroundShuttle.com, let us do the driving. Today, sunny and 81. Tonight, mostly clear and 58. The Zone Shootout is back, and you're invited to grab a friend and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course each Wednesday evening. For more information, visit the events section at zone1150.com.
Texas affords great businesses the freedom to grow. Outstanding business practices affords Texans one of the strongest economies in the country. This is Inside Texas Business.
Professionalism and competitive products are important to Patrick Watkins, president of Watkins Insurance Group.
At Watkins Insurance Group, we're here to help by serving our customers through professional advisors, competitive products, technology, and value-added services.
Inside Texas Business, presented by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a policyholder-owned workers' comp provider. Work safe, Texas.
Your mom was right. Milk is good for you. As a matter of fact, drinking milk builds strong bones and healthy bodies. Plus, milk is one of our country's safest foods. I'm Lacey Sublett, and our family has been milking cows for more than 30 years. Our family works with the cows day in and day out to make sure they are comfortable and well-fed. As every dairy farmer knows, healthy cows produce the best milk. Learn more about our dedication to cow care at dairymax.org.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com. Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Bryan Broadcasting or email sam@bryanbroadcasting.com.
your homes for Aggie sports with football, basketball, baseball, and softball.
News Talk 1620 and Sports Radio 1150.
And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation. Covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom and Robert Sestam are mixing up a little bit for people this week. Normally it's Primo on the Friday show.
Stay tuned.
So we're trying to throw everybody off. You know, it's one of those days.
Primo's in outer space right now.
Yeah. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the new season, the season that dreams are made of. Check that out at mscopus.org. Lots of great stuff there. You can call us, 693-1150. You can text us at 229-1939. And let us know what's on your mind today. What do you want us to talk about? It's the Friday show. It's up to you guys. We kind of let people tell us what they want to do on Friday. See, so you're not in here on Friday normally. It's a little less rigid of a show, which is not saying much.
I was going to say, wow.
It's not that rigid of a show anyway. So hit us up. What do you want to talk about? We've got a few things we're going to hit on. Of course, we will have Scott Clendenin in here a little bit later on to talk about A&M Tennessee. Aggie's trying to get back on the winning track against the Vols this weekend, so we'll have that.
How about that LSU game last night?
Oh, that was wild, wasn't it?
That was.
It went on forever.
Yeah.
I was
LSU's played six extra inning games in SEC play. That's a lot, man.
They win close games. They are
3-3, though.
That's what happens in extra innings. You never know.
Flip a coin.
We have a few things we want to get to. First off, yesterday we had Shereen Williams on the show. Me and crew went back and forth. Was this going to be a boring draft? Was it going to be an exciting draft? Was it going to be wild? It might have been the most boring draft I've ever seen.
It's like nothing. I mean, it's just like it was plastic. It's
What I was telling Rob earlier, the annoying part was like it was almost like in economics they would call it the Nash equilibrium. It's like doing not only what's best for yourself but also with the mind for what's best for everybody else. It's kind of how it works. It's like everyone not only picked people that helped them, but they didn't pick people that helped other, you know, like everybody got who they wanted, basically. Like no one.
They said they did. And no one took a chance. Basically, no one took a chance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't like, you know, the only one maybe was that Houston apparently wanted a running back and didn't get it because that quick trade where the 49ers jumped them or whoever it was jumped them.
It was pretty blasé.
It was weak.
Yeah, very weak.
It was
weak.
Boring. Then
all the hype.
I was a little upset. This is what happens, though. I can't be real upset because I got on here yesterday and said, me and Kroom debated, are you a best available or are you our draft for need guy? And I said, I'm a best available guy. But when it came to the Colts last night, like pick 30 or 29, whatever it was, I'm thinking, it's got to be defense because that's what they need the most. But the best guy on their board, Philip Dorsett, wide receiver out of Miami, and that's who they went with. So I can't complain, I guess, when I come on here and say I'm a best available guy, and that's what they go with.
I always feel sometimes you say you're a best available guy, then there's a guy that can really help your needs, or you feel that you tell yourself maybe that need's not as bad as you think it is because the guy that's available is so much better. So I think because I was reading all the Steeler stuff as well, and once again, it's all in how you sell it. I got to laugh. They're spending millions of dollars, and everything on the Pittsburgh site was about how great a character guy Bud Dupree is from Kentucky, and then even the Steeler brass. In the columnist Ron Cook goes, hey, but if he can't play, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter what his character is if he can't play. It's a bonus, but you got to be able to win games.
Well, and then the thing that I was going back to, I was reading the columns and everything out of Indianapolis this morning, and what they said was Chuck Pagano said they looked at the board, he was their best available, and they looked at all the guys they had on the board under him and said, hey, do any of these other guys have something special about them? Is there some sort of trait that would put them over Dorsett that we need right away? And they said, no, Dorsett's speed, clocked the 4.25 at his own pro day and a 4.35 at the combine, was the thing that made him different. He was that fast. He played that fast. He had elite speed, and no one else had a trait like that, so they went ahead and picked him. So hard to argue against that. I mean, it seems good reasoning to me.
It was 32 winners yesterday. We'll see me in 2 years.
But my thing for Indianapolis is, how many wide receivers do you need? The Colts now have T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief, Andre Johnson, and now this guy.
And my Steelers now have drafted a linebacker 3 straight years number one. It's like, can you fix the problem and move on? I mean, it's like, how many times do you have to do that?
Well, and I was joking going in that, like, the position that my Colts needed least, other than maybe quarterback and punter, was wide receiver. But, you know, whatever. They got the best guy available. What do you think about the Cowboys and Texans? DBs.
Well, once again, I think they went a little bit more towards need. I mean, it's how you play it, and you play it well. And I was, because my Steelers need a cornerback in the worst way, but they deemed that they didn't like the Connecticut guy. They felt that he wasn't, you know, of course, once again, and the guys you pass on, you don't want to dump on another organization, but it's amazing how you use the words, oh, no, didn't quite meet what we were looking for, and da-da-da. And, yeah, bottom line is you're gambling with the guy you took.
Well, and what's kind of strange to me is that, well, not strange, but one thing I always do, I don't trust corners on bad teams. And I don't know why. It's just one of those things.
A corner on Connecticut?
Well, or for the Texans, Wake Forest.
What I'm saying is,
yeah, either one. But, and you're like,
But the guy at Wake Forest, Steelers were high on him. But once again, I'm a little bit like you because, okay, Connecticut gets beat how bad, how many times? And so they don't go to one of their corners. The other corner was so bad, that guy never got any action.
Does the good one even get to do much? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, Wake Forest, they just keep printing out great first-round picks, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, apparently, they're going for it. Any other big surprises? Good for Todd Gurley. I'm glad to see him go early. I mean, he's a guy that, when he was at his best, was one of the most electrifying players in college football. Glad to see him get picked. I don't know that necessarily the Rams are where I would have pegged him, but
Jeff Fisher does like running the ball. I mean, that's, I think they got rid of Bradford. I think that's a great place for Gurley to land up. I think they're going to run the football, try to run the football, and so I think that's good for him. We'll see if he can stand up, how his health is, and you know, in the NFL, you run the ball a lot. Some of those running backs don't last, but I was happy for Gurley.
Now, what about you? Do you have any hot takes on Jameis Winston's Instagram, the crab legs? Do you see that?
Yeah, come on. I mean,
I did hear a story about this from a reporter who said that he was at some sort of charity auction, and I forget who it was for, but one of the big charity auctions, and it was before the draft, and the guy, it was one of the guys from The Deadliest Catch, asked Jameis to come help him auction off, you know, just to be funny, asked Jameis to come help him auction off this crab. You know, it was this big crab they were auctioning off, and you know, it was some big charity thing. And so Jameis went up there, it was really funny about it, and basically took it all in stride and let him kind of poke fun at him and did this. So in return, on draft night, that guy, Captain whatever his name is from Deadliest Catch, sent the crab legs to Jameis, and so that's why he had him. It wasn't like just an intentional, but still, I'm like, just don't post the photo.
Yeah, well, what I have to also laugh is, I was thinking to myself is last night, if Vegas could list odds of the 32 guys drafted now, what order would somebody have off-the-field problems? You know, last year, wouldn't Johnny Manziel been high on that list? And you got to put Winston up high on that list.
Number one's got to be the guy that had problems this week, right? I mean, Shane Ray's got to be number one.
Well, would you put Ray number one? Or what about Collins falling like a
bird? Well, that was the other thing I was going to bring up.
Oh, man.
There was a point there when he was, you know, there's been different reports on. Obviously, we don't know anything about the case.
Oh, no. Just from the outside. Yeah.
Assumingly, the NFL guys don't seem to know much either. But Rob was saying earlier that they were talking about maybe some team takes a flyer on him in the fourth or fifth round. But I was thinking last night, if he was still there when the Colts pick, if I mean, that's a guy that could really help a team right away. I mean, he's a potentially the best guy at his position.
Wouldn't
in this
all
draft.
The NFL people try to call the DA, try to find something? Hey, look, what's the deal, man? I mean, I could save millions of bucks by getting this guy and sign it to a 4-year deal.
Well, and if he had nothing to do with it, you feel bad for him because he really is maybe the best tackle in this draft.
Correct.
Which is a tackle heavy draft anyway.
Exactly.
He could have gone off the board pretty early.
He's at the top of the list.
And now may not get picked at all.
Millions.
So you wonder how that kind of works out. The other one is Randy Gregory.
From Nebraska, yeah.
Who also wasn't picked last night. And then, of course, this always happens. And it happens for the Colts, too. I'm sure Texans fans are tired of it happening for the Colts. But how does Malcolm Brown fall to the Patriots? I was going, somebody pick him up. The Colts didn't need him. He doesn't fit their defense. But I was sitting there going, come on. Somebody pick him.
That was funny. And then I have to laugh. A side note. The draft is one of the few times yet where you have this news happening and everybody wants to be first, whether you're the newspaper, a media outlet, or whatever. So I find interesting is Patriots draft Brown. So about 10 minutes later, Brown's for Brenham, so I'm trying to get something that we can put in our story and paper. So I decided to go to the Boston Globe. You go to the Boston Globe site last night, you click on sports, they have a huge banner, Patriots take Brown with first round. You click on it, and then it starts out, the Boston Globe apologizes for, it says he's drafted by Texas. The Boston Globe apologized for erroneously reporting that the Patriots had traded their first round pick. So in other words, somebody at the Boston Globe felt confident enough that they posted online that they had traded their first round.
Well, the rumor was that the Texans had gotten it.
But I'm saying that's where the era we live in. Somebody went ahead and put it on their website. The Boston Globe is not like the Snook Times. I mean, you know, went ahead and put it up, and then they got to run a retraction.
Well, and then the other thing last night that was so weird, we were talking about this in the newsroom earlier, it's like ESPN kept getting further and further and further behind. I mean, by the time the Colts picked, late last night, the news was out like 20 minutes before then that they were going to pick the wide receiver from Miami, Dorsett. I mean, and I keep saying the Colts because that's who I follow, so I was following their reporters throughout this thing. But they had all known that they were going to pick them like 20 minutes before it came up on ESPN. I mean, it was like two picks before that they were still doing this. So I don't know if the behind-the-scenes action was working quicker than the actual draft.
But I found out when I clicked on it, I go,
Well, the Cowboys were kind of the same way.
The Globe's putting a retraction up online. I mean, you go like, wow.
Oh, man, a couple texts. Someone said, I love how on the ESPN broadcast, Louis Riddick said Wake Forest isn't a good football team in the nicest way possible when he was explaining Kevin Johnson's slight frame. Yeah, that was pretty good. It was funny to watch them. There's two things I love about the draft. That's them trying to dance around guys that play on bad teams because no one wants to say this team is horrible.
Sure.
The other thing is that when they're vamping, is my favorite thing. It's like they're ready to go. You know, they finished up some big point they were trying to make, and Gruden says, and that's, you know, the final word on that. But they're not quite ready to go to the stage, so then they've got to, like, stretch it out somehow. And then, because when they start to vamp, you get all these just generic, wide open.
Sure.
I don't even know how many times I heard last night that, well, we're waiting on the pick for Denver. Denver, of course, you know, they could use some depth at several. Oh, the commissioner's coming out. You know, they're trying to stretch it out.
Then you get to second and third where some of the guys are not that well-schooled and the guys that are being drafted. And it's like you look at Kuiper. Okay, Kuiper, say what you know about this guy that no one else knows.
Someone else texted, did you see Zach Stacy tweet yikes when Gurley was picked? I kind of like that too. That was pretty funny. And then someone texted that the NFL asked ESPN and NFL Network not to report picks before they were made, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I do like that. But the thing was, the picks were being made. It's kind of my point. We were on Twitter, the teams are reporting. They've already got the highlight videos up. I mean, all this has already happened, and it's not like live TV needed to catch up or something. I don't know if they were just intentionally stretching it out or what.
Well, you know, you talk about need best available athlete. I was kind of, you know, enamored with the fact is here's Cincinnati that hasn't had a lot of playoff success. They've made the playoffs the last few years, can't win. In today's NFL football, your first couple picks have got to be really good and play right away. And Cincinnati basically says, oh, we can wait on Obuehi. You know, it doesn't matter if he doesn't play this year. And I'm thinking, like, who is in such – you're in that good a shape that you don't need immediate help, but you haven't won a playoff game in how long? I mean, you know, it's like – there's something about Ohio. And I'm thinking, like, okay, Manziel last year, Obuehi this year. I hope the best for him. But who drafts somebody in the first round and says, oh, okay, if we get him next year, you know, whatever. Yeah. But okay.
Especially not a quarterback. A quarterback maybe you do that with.
I know.
Would you feel about – real quick, then we're going to go to break. How do you feel about Goodell pulling a cease last night with Mariota's name?
Yeah, the people at the house noticed, and I said, hey, it's not good. Shouldn't he pronounce his name right? I go, no, it's okay. He makes enough money. He can say whatever he wants to.
The thing, it's bad enough if he's the second pick, and everyone knew he was going to be the second pick, won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, it's bad enough that you messed up his name, but then someone tweeted out the actual cards that they give the commissioner, have the pronunciations on them, and he still messed it up. How do you mess up?
I could be commissioner.
Mariota's not even that hard to say.
I know, I could be commissioner of the NFL. I got a future. That's great.
Well, it's good to know that there's life after the Eagle for you. Let's go to our first break. When we come back, you mentioned Cedric Obuehi. One thing I want to talk about, I blogged a little bit about this, looked up some data on this. I want to know, and one of my current operating theory is that A&M did something in the 2010 recruiting class that I don't think has ever happened before. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
Do you dream of a new career?
When I first decided to come to Vista College, I was very upset with where my career was at the time.
At Vista College, you get the real-world training you need for a career you'll love.
I wanted to do something that I actually enjoyed. I saw Vista College as that opportunity. I didn't see it feasible for me to go back to university, learn something completely new, and take all that time to make a career change.
Classes start every 5 weeks. Take courses day or night, or even online. From business administration and computer networking to medical fields, Vista College has a program that is right for you.
Vista College was perfect for me because I basically left another job, started Vista College 3 weeks later. About 9 months later, I was done, took a week's vacation, and I was back at work that following Monday.
Consumer information may be viewed at vistacollege.edu. Call Vista College now, 979-314-4438. That's 314-4438. Vista College College Station is a branch campus of Vista College, El Paso, Texas. Call 314-4438.
Double the Bellucci Hour and you double the fun. So twice a week, have lunch at the Tap from noon to 1 with Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of TexAgs Radio. Billy and Bryce have the answers to all your recruiting questions and everything else you need to know to get in the know for Aggie football. The 2015 offseason doesn't feel half as long with a Bellucci Hour lunch. Brought to you in part by Stephen Gastitis, attorney at law. Don't miss the Bellucci Hour every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap.
It's time to golf for Special Olympics. Howdy, I'm Coach Gary Blair, asking you to join me for the 12th annual Coach Blair Charity Celebrity Golf Classic, benefiting Special Olympics and other charities. Save Friday, May the 8th, for golf at Traditions. Go to CoachBlairCharities.org to sign up. Special thanks to Mac Resource, Chili Fest, BB&T, Jack Hilliard Distributing, KBTX, and Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
Howdy, my name is Megan Morris, fiance of Aggie football offensive coordinator Jake Spavital. Mark your calendars for the Bryan College Station March for Babies on Sunday, May 3rd at Research Park. Take part in the walk that saves babies from premature birth and birth defects. They'll be the easiest steps you and your family will ever take, and you'll have fun too. Join the millions of people who participate to support March of Dimes research and programs to give babies in our community a healthy start in life. Register today at marchforbabies.org. March for Babies is locally sponsored by the College Station Medical Center.
Rattlers always has great specials, and May is no exception. This month, grab some healthy snacks with David's Sunflower Seeds in the 5.25-ounce bag, two for only $2.22. In a hurry for lunch? Then mix and match a fountain drink, hot dog, and nachos, two for only $2 with your registered Rattlers reward card. And if it's been a long, tough, and hot day, after work, stop in for some great beer specials, like 18 packs of Heineken, Corona, and Dos Equis, only $19.99, and 18 packs of Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texas.
If you can't watch your favorite Aggie teams play,
listen to them on News Talk 1620 and Sports Radio 1150.
When the night has come and the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by.
Welcome back.
It's the sky.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. See, Stand By Me singer Ben E. King died today.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So
good song.
Yeah. Great song. Yeah. Song everybody knows right there. Mm-hmm. All right. So yesterday with the Obuehi thing, was he going to go? Was he not going to go? Was he going to keep the streak alive? The five straight drafts. The five straight drafts thing is impressive. That's fine. It's a good streak. Second longest Alabama or whatever. It's not a bad streak.
How about Florida having one drafted every draft? They're the only school. They've had someone drafted in every draft since the NFL started drafting.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
They're the only one.
So then there's some, you know, and then everyone was talking about the offensive tackles, three in a row.
Sure.
The thing that some people overlook, though, and I know that hardcore Aggie fans know this, but I'm trying to put this in perspective for some people who might not realize it. Not only were the three offensive tackles obviously all the same position, they're all tackled, all from A&M, but all were in the same recruiting class.
Correct.
They were all in the class of 2010, and I was trying to figure out earlier today if that's ever happened before, where three players at the same position in the same recruiting class were all drafted in the first round. Now, I'd be interested to know if they were all drafted, period.
I was going to say, yeah, just find three guys from one class in the first round. How many of those?
There's a few reasons that if this has happened before, and I'll say this. There's a couple things here. I did a blog on this at My Aggie Nation if you want to read all of it. But there's a few things. For one, I'm including modern positions. I'm sure it happened like back in the early days of football when there was only like three positions. You were like a back, an end.
And you played multiple positions too.
You were either like a back, an end, or a guard. That was like it. That was the only positions they had. And then also we're talking about the position that they were drafted at into the NFL. They were all recruited as, you know, one thing, and then they all ended up going to the NFL. That's a separate deal, too. And this is hard to look up, is one reason for this. One, the recruiting databases only basically go back to the early 2000s. So anything before that, it's hard to nail down who exactly was in what class. But for a couple reasons, I don't think this has ever happened before. And if it has, it probably happened at a position like wide receiver or like DB, where there's a whole bunch of them on the field, and when you get drafted, you don't have to declare necessarily as a corner or
safety.
Or you don't have to declare as a slot receiver, X receiver, you're just a wide receiver. So it might have happened there, but for one, you have to stagger the eligibility, which almost makes this impossible right off the bat. You need the guys to all be able to play the same position. In this case, if Cedric Obuehi hadn't redshirted and Luke Jokel hadn't gone early, they wouldn't have all been able to play tackle. So right away, that would have been impossible. And then the other thing to go along with that is that underclassmen have only been eligible for the draft since about 89, which makes it even more difficult because they would have all had to be seniors. So I went back and just as an experiment to see how rare this would be, I looked at the team with the most number one draft picks of all time, USC, 77 first-round draft picks. They've never even been close. Twice they were semi-close. In 2008 to 2009, USC had Brian Cushing, Clay Matthews, and Keith Rivers all selected at linebacker. But one of them, and I believe it was Cushing, was an outside linebacker, at least coming out. And then they and Rivers, Cushing was in a different recruiting class. So there's two things wrong with it there.
Sure.
And then the other one I found was from 68 and 70, Mike Taylor, Ron Yeary, and Sid Smith were all taking a tackle for USC. But one of those guys came in from a JUCO, and then the other one was two classes later, and again, you couldn't come out as an underclassman. So there's several things wrong, too. So USC wasn't even close. So I'm reasonably sure this has never happened before, which is mind-blowing.
You got to remember, go back and give Mike Shermer a lot of credit. We always said Mike Shermer could recognize offensive line talent. He could develop offensive linemen. No doubt about that. And had a laugh. As soon as Away was drafted, I had a former roommate who's out of state text me and said, is Mike Sherman still coaching? Where's he at? I mean, you know, he does know offensive linemen. Now, you have to develop one. And that goes back to why I have high hopes for A&M's offensive line this year by bringing in Christensen, who I think is a great track record. You just can't throw the coaches out there and say, hey, you can do this, you can do that. I think it takes a special talent to recruit and coach offensive linemen, and Sherman could do it. And now A&M's got it gone. Fetty coming up next year. I mean, yeah. Now you look at what's happened. They've got it gone nicely.
Well, and then it's kind of funny. Each passing year, you appreciate more and more how good that 2012 offense
was. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Johnny Manziel, yes, was great, undoubtedly. But also had NFL players all around him. I mean, Mike Evans.
First-round draft players around.
He had Mike Evans. He had Uzoma Wachukwu, who's, you know, still hanging on with the Texans. Swope, who is arguably, or not arguably, he is A&M's most productive wide receiver ever.
He's still in the NFL.
Yeah,
he didn't get hurt.
If he didn't have the concussion problems, he's probably still going. Ben Molina is kind of a special teams ace in the NFL, but that team also had Christian Michael, who plays for the Seahawks. And then you're talking potentially, once Jarvis Harrison gets drafted, all five guys will be in the NFL.
I know. You got to remember.
That's quite the offense.
You got to give Johnny Manziel a lot of credit, but he had players around him.
Yeah.
You put him at UTEP, we're not talking about this right now. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, and, you know, on the flip side of that is Manziel also made their lives easier.
Yes, he did.
I mean, if an offensive lineman missed a block or two, it didn't really matter because no one could tackle him. And then, in a lot of ways, he trusted Mike Evans. I mean, without him, Mike Evans isn't Mike Evans.
When he got in trouble, he just threw it downfield. But, you know, as I try to talk about, when you go from high school to college, what a step. When you go from college to the NFL, what a step. There's a reason, and you have to laugh. And I think now the last seven first-round picks A&M had, six of them were drafted ahead of Manziel, and you could say, based on results, correctly so. The NFL is just a different game. It's when you step up at all positions, and when you look at those linemen, Cincinnati feels that, hey, they're starting to compare them to, you know, Cedric Way is not even 100% healthy. They're comparing him to Anthony Munoz, whatever. They're projecting him. He's got all the tools. Will he be that good? Everyone around here hopes he's that good, and for Cedric's benefit, you know. But it's just the NFL. It's just a different league. When you step up, we talk about everybody thought Mike Evans would come in and do what he did, but a lot of people thought Lima Swede would do that from Texas, too. You just don't know until you take that next step.
Yeah, and so, like I said, I just want to take a quick minute to talk about that, because that was...
Well, that is awesome, because we talked about that class before. That was just unbelievable.
It's possibly, like I said, by Wayne going the first round, I truly don't think it's ever happened before. I would be amazed if it has. And it's going to take something.
No way. It hasn't, because you're right. You touched on all the things about the freshman eligibility. The fact that from the same class, it just hasn't happened. It's only happened here. Now, if you want to go on the other side, and I'm laughing because everybody looks, why hasn't A&M won more? I mean, you have those guys. You have three of the if Alabama had the three best offensive linemen three years in a row. I'm just saying is, you get that much talent. Well, you gotta get wins.
You go back and you think about that 2012 team. Oh. Not only these linemen that we're talking about and the skill position guys, but there's also guys we haven't mentioned. DeMontre Moore was on that team. He was also in that 2010 class. Sean Porter was on that team.
Steven Terrell got to. They all got to the NFL. Some of those guys got to the NFL.
You've got guys that are still hanging out in the NFL a little bit. You wonder, and it's one of those deals that, yeah, looking back, but you wonder if that was A&M's best chance at a national title, and the schedule just kind of, by having to face Florida right off the bat, they weren't quite ready for it.
They didn't know what they had with Manziel.
Well, and that's kind of the thing. It's, to me, it's too easy to go back and say that, you know, if they had a game before Florida, they'd have won the national title because they'd only had one loss. To me, that's too easy to say, because if that game, which was supposed to be Louisiana Tech, would have happened, as you said, they didn't know what they had in Manziel yet. There's no guarantee they beat Louisiana Tech. I mean, they almost didn't anyway. I mean, that was a like crazy game.
That was an awesome game.
So, and I'm not saying that they wouldn't have beaten them. They very well could have beaten Louisiana Tech and then beaten Florida. But to me, it's too easy revisionist history to say.
Logic, one of the only courses in college that got an A, and you can't say what would have been. You can sit here and speculate all you want to, but you don't know. You don't know what would happen. Heck, someone could have broken their ankle playing Louisiana Tech that early, and who knows?
Well, and it's just one of those things, as you look back, you can't help but think of the what-ifs, though, because of how talented that team was. But, you know, looking ahead, this was the year that if A&M got a first-round pick this year, you got to think they're pretty good moving forward because they've got some top-flight athletes on this team now. I mean, we all expect Jermaine Ifedi to be first-round. Miles Garrett's coming in the first round someday.
You'd look from the 2012 team. Right now, moving forward and into 2010 signing class, you look, A&M has signed better classes.
Yeah.
So they're going to get the stars lined up. They got a new renovated Kyle Field of a more home field advantage. So you got to feel at some point the stars have a chance to really lining up, and that's what A&M's pointing toward.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just kind of an interesting note. We will, if someone else out there, I've challenged the Twitter world to find an example of this. But if someone finds one, then by all means, I'll give props to them. I do think, like I said, I do think it's possible at wide receiver because sometimes you sign a whole bunch.
Boy, that's tough.
There aren't that many wide receivers taken in the first round.
You look at the first round, the bottom. I always have to laugh. Everyone talks like the first round is 50 guys. When you're going, this guy's the first rounder. This guy's the first rounder. No, there's only 32 of them. There's only 32.
All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, real quick, I want to hit on an idea that Jake Trotter from ESPN threw out for the Big 12. I think it's kind of a fascinating concept. I want to talk with you all about that. We'll come back, do that later on. You know, whatever you guys want to send us, 229-1939. Hit us up. What do you want to talk about? We will talk about it. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone. A bill passed in the Texas House yesterday could bring new parks with athletic facilities to Bryan College Station.
That was a bill that both cities requested, hotel, motel tax that will go for the building of new parks and ballparks and other sorts of centers that are recreational, I guess, to attract out-of-town visitors to our community.
State Representative John Rainey of Bryan says Bill 3692 is a local bill and only applies to Bryan College Station. The Texas Transportation Commission has taken the next step towards building the Aggie Expressway. Bob Caldwell at the TxDOT District Office in Bryan says the commission has voted to start the process for selecting a contractor to design and build the toll road between Pinehurst and Navasota.
TxDOT's plan is to issue a request of proposals later this year and anticipates a proposal due date in spring of 2016.
A public hearing will be held this summer to review the environmental study and preferred alignment of the $410 million highway. A year-long investigation by Bryan Police has led to two arrests and arrest warrants being issued for four others. The grandson of a 77-year-old woman is accused of taking two checkbooks and giving them to friends who cashed 17 checks between January and August of last year, totaling almost $1,900. According to the arrest report, 18-year-old John Pemberton of Bryan denied taking the checks and handing them out. Pemberton is in jail along with 19-year-old Charles Ogden of Milliken. Arrest warrants were issued for 27-year-old Nathan Burrell, 19-year-olds Jaime Fuentes Jr. and Avery Keese, and 18-year-old Bryant Lysenby. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
If you missed one of the biggest car buying events in the entire state of Texas, we have news for you. It's back! Atkinson Toyota's Repo! Joe's sale is back this weekend only. Shop over 160 quality trade-ins, auction cars, lease terminations, and repos. Every used car's a bargain. Pay just $27 down. Payments just $89 a month and clearly posted on every windshield.
Stock number 151318K. 2006 Pontiac Montana. Selling price $53.88. 72 months at 2.9% APR. $27 down plus tax, title, and license with approved credit.
Repo Joe here. No matter what your budget is or what vehicle you're looking for, the Repo Joe sale has it all. Our payments are clearly posted, so it's easy to see your savings on the spot.
And save you will. The Repo Joe sale is the best sale for used cars, period. But you have to get to Atkinson Toyota this weekend. 27 town delivers with payments from $89 a month.
Visit RepoJoe.com to find your bargain.
Don't miss it this time. Rush to Atkinson Toyota in Bryan in Madisonville this weekend. Subject to prior sale.
Howdy, my name is Megan Morris, fiance of Aggie football offensive coordinator Jake Spavital. Mark your calendars for the Bryan College Station March for Babies on Sunday, May 3rd at Research Park. Take part in the walk that saves babies from premature birth and birth defects. They'll be the easiest steps you and your family will ever take, and you'll have fun too. Join the millions of people who participate to support March of Dimes research and programs to give babies in our community a healthy start in life. Register today at marchforbabies.org. March for Babies is locally sponsored by the College Station Medical Center.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Bryan Broadcasting or email Sam at BryanBroadcasting.com.
Sports Radio 1150, Candy 95.
Candy 95.
Rock Candy. News Talk 1620 and more. To listen to your favorite station on your phone, go to RadioEggyland.com.
RadioEggyland.com.
Last it all.
Show, hit us up. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Let us know. 229-1939 is the text line. What's on your mind? Ask us a question. We will answer it. Probably. Not like 90% chance.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, solid.
Or we'll be like Mel Kiper. We'll pretend we know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Another favorite draft night thing is the people on screen that you can tell don't really like each other. The Gruden-Kiper thing was fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
They were sniping at each other all night, which is, you know, that's always kind of funny. I thought we'd turn our attention to college football for a little bit. Of course, there's more draft stuff tonight, more draft stuff tomorrow. We'll talk about that on Monday. But Jake Trotter of I think he used to work for the Oklahoman.
One of the Oklahoma Papers,
now
yes.
He's at ESPN. Did an interesting story about the Big 12 championship game. This has been in the news this week. Mm-hmm. Should the Big 12 have a title game? How would they do it? His idea is to have the title game, but on the home field of whoever the number one team is at the end of the year. So let's say that, you know, it's Texas is overall that has the best record. Oklahoma is second.
Last year for UCLA.
Yeah. Then, you know, in that case, because Baylor had already had the tiebreak, they would have had a Big 12 championship game. TCU would have come to Baylor again, and they would have played it. The reason for this, he thinks, is, one, it gives you a 13th game that all the other conferences have, but it also protects the team up top. They're not going to have to go play, you know, in a hostile environment or on the road. The team that's most likely going to win the conference is...
gives them advantage. They need to take care of it.
Yeah. And I think this is an okay idea. Now, there's some obvious problems here. One is, do you then front-load the schedule? Because the Big 12 has been kind of backloading their schedule in recent years. I mean, we saw that Baylor-Kansas State game was the same day as the SEC championship. They would have to front-load those games because what you wouldn't want to happen is, you know, like, for example, K-State-Baylor last year. Let's say that K-State pulls off an upset for the ages. It's an epic game. They storm the field and all this stuff. Well, then they got to play them again the next week? I mean, that would be kind of ridiculous.
That'd be the worst thing to do, but how would you, then you do get some tricky scheduling because you can say, oh, we'll put Iowa State down there against Texas. It turns out Iowa State has the year of all years.
Well,
it could still happen.
There'd be no way to definitely schedule
it out.
That's what
I'm saying.
But
it's tough.
You'd have to make an attempt. Really the only reason that this is a good idea. Otherwise, I think it's probably a bad idea. But the one reason I think it could be a good idea is that the off chance not really an off chance, this would happen eventually, but that Texas and Oklahoma would have to play at one of the other's stadium. The Texas actually having to go to Oklahoma or Oklahoma having to go to Texas would be a game for the ages. I mean, it hasn't happened. Texas hasn't played at OU since like 1922, I think, so I saw earlier. So that would be worth it.
But also is then if you're going to have that championship game, you don't worry about having a couple weeks of cream puffs leading up to it, because the reason they had Kansas State play in Baylor is, like you said, to compete against the SEC championships and the ACC championships. But if you're already going to have your, quote, championship game, you could adjust your schedule that way. You could have a couple weeks of, quote, you might think cream puffs leading up, knowing you're going to have that marquee game.
Yeah, and then the other part of this is one thing that I find interesting, and that's a question that no one's really been able to answer yet, and that's whether or not, with this deregulating of the championship games, whether or not the NCAA, or not the NCAA, but the College Football Playoff, or whoever runs it, I mean, I guess it's the NCAA, I'm not even sure who makes these kind of rules, would allow for a conditional championship game. The condition being that they would only have a championship game if there's a tie.
Well, and my understanding is the way I read it, with these power conferences getting more and more power, they might be able to do that. They might be able to pass that and say, here's what we're going to do.
Now, the problem with that is you'd almost have to – this would be possible, but you'd have to make sure that on the final week of the regular season that everybody was playing like a home non-conference game or something if you wanted people there. Otherwise, if you finish your season on a Saturday and then the conference championship game that you weren't even sure was going to happen, you know, happens. Let's say Baylor thinks they're going to win it. They end up getting upset. Someone else wins. Now there's a tie. You've got to organize a conference title game in a week. That's logistically difficult.
I don't see a problem with that with the higher seed hosting it, because once again, that's going to be a little bit, you know, you're going to travel, you should have rooms, there's not going to be nothing going on in these cities other than football, and they're going to get an extra football game. So I think that they do it in a lot of these sports. I know they're not as major, baseball, basketball, in softball, that suddenly here's the announcement on Monday, Tuesday, they're playing that weekend. It could happen, particularly if you don't have to go to a neutral site. Kansas State could easily host a game, Baylor, what have you. So I don't think that might be that difficult.
Well, in the Pac-12 did this. Their title game was at home stadiums for a few years. Last year was at Levi Stadium where the 49ers played. But it was at Oregon and different things. But they knew there was going to be one. So a couple weeks out, if Oregon has a pretty good idea they're going to win the East or North or West or however they do it up there, they
make plans.
They can already start planning, to where here you don't even know if there's going to be a game until the week before. So I don't know the logistics of if that's possible, but if so...
It's a Big 12. People don't care.
Well, and the thing was, if you're doing it on the tie bit, then who gets to have the home game? On this conditional one, is it whoever won the first game?
Okay, what if you have a three-way tie with two losses?
Well, that's what I mean. Then you go into some weird things. You kick them out based on the rankings, or I don't know how that would work.
I'm just saying, I play devil's advocate.
Yeah, I like the idea of the Big 12 having a title game on the home fields. I just think it's probably going to hurt them more than it helps them most of the time.
Well, I could see where it's going to help them, and if you're both 11-1, that 12-1 team, get another win over a big quality opponent, and we saw how those the last year the rankings, how Ohio State moved up in the rankings. They were outside TCU there until the last week.
But then the other thing,
you win, that's a huge win.
I think the Big 12's got to be careful not to overreact based on 1 year.
Oh, I understand.
Because we talked about this last year. If Ohio State goes down,
if it works out, they could have two teams.
Right. If Ohio State goes down, the Big 12 would have gotten one in. And if Florida State would have gone down, or, you know, anyone else, which they almost did several times, then they would have gotten two teams.
Missouri would have beaten Alabama, yeah, right.
Yeah, but, you know, it could have worked out really well for the Big 12.
I'm with you.
So I think they need more than 1 year of data before they completely overreact. Someone texted, I would laugh if this season a 9-3 OU or something beat 11-1 Baylor in the title game to keep the Big 12 out of the playoffs again. That would be the worst case scenario for the Big 12. You overreact, you add a title game, and then your champion, let's say it's TCU, goes undefeated and then loses.
See, if I'm the Big 12 commissioner, what I would do is I would have a championship game only if there's a tie at the highest seed. I would go strictly sell myself out. I'm getting somebody in the best I can to get somebody in the playoff.
Yeah. I kind of like
if I was the commissioner.
I kind of like the idea of a conditional
And you're right. I'm not having that 9-3 team beating my 11-1 team if I'm the commissioner.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. If as long as there's not a tie, then the number one team is going. If there's a tie, they'll play it.
Even
somewhere.
Dan Beebe would know that.
Someone said, "Come on, Texas wins all the ties." That is true. Ties go to Texas in the Big 12.
Well, that's they just play there. You know, it's like Augie Garrido would say, "Hey, we're playing at Texas, man."
How
no
funny
problem.
Would that be if they just set a site for the championship game, like this year's title game? If there's a title game, is going to be like, you know, in Waco.
In Iowa. Iowa State.
Or something,
Ames.
You know, like, it's Texas and Oklahoma for the Big 12 title, and they've got to play in Lubbock or
Manhattan.
Ames or Manhattan. Or something. Yeah.
Can you imagine Texas and Oklahoma going to Manhattan?
Oh, that'd be good.
Bob Stoops, would those be classic press conferences? What have you been doing this week in Manhattan, Bob? And, of course, he was there before on Snyder's staff.
There you go. Let's hit it real quick. Today in Aggie history.
Oh, okay,
please.
Hit it.
Maybe.
And now, today in Aggie history.
MyAggieNation.com has a couple todays in Aggie history. One of them was George H.W. Bush, who, of course, is Aggie-related because his campus, the library is on campus, announced his presidency on May 1st, 1979.
He was in the class of 2010.
But I like this one. May 1st, 1965, Colonel Robert L. Silver Fox Stevens, class of 43, on this day in 1965, set a world speed record for an aircraft, 2,070 miles per hour. Mach 3, Cease.
I did not know that.
There you go. That's today's Today in Aggie
History. What's his name again? Stevens?
Robert L. Silver Fox Stevens, class of 1943.
No relation to Marcus Mariota.
Or Mariotto or whatever the things were last night. Yeah, that's today's.
Toto.
There you go. That's today's Today in Aggie History.
Cool.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll see what you guys want us to hit on. And, of course, it's Friday. We might have some interstellar reports.
Whoa.
When we come back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
If you missed one of the biggest car buying events in the entire state of Texas, we have news for you. It's back! Hackinson Toyota's Repo Joe Sale is back this weekend only. Shop over 160 quality trade-ins, auction cars, lease terminations, and repos. Every used car's a bargain. Pay just $27 down. Payments just $89 a month and clearly posted on every windshield.
Stock number 151318K. 2006 Pontiac, Montana. Selling price $53.88. 72 months at 2.9% APR. $27 down plus tax, title, and license. With approved credit.
Repo Joe here. No matter what your budget is or what vehicle you're looking for, the Repo Joe sale has it all. Our payments are clearly posted, so it's easy to see your savings on the spot. And save you will. The Repo Joe sale is the best sale for used cars, period. But you have to get to Atkinson Toyota this weekend. 27 town delivers with payments from $89 a month.
Visit RepoJoe.com to find your bargain.
Don't miss it this time. Rush to Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville this weekend. Subject to prior sale.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Rudy's Barbecue, Garland Shelton Imports, and Prosperity Bank. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Time to golf for Special Olympics. Howdy, I'm Coach Gary Blair, asking you to join me for the 12th annual Coach Blair Charity Celebrity Golf Classic, benefiting Special Olympics and other charities. Save Friday, May the 8th for golf at Traditions. Go to CoachBlairCharities.org to sign up. Special thanks to Mac Resource, Chili Fest, BB&T, Jack Hilliard Distributing, KBTX, and Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
Howdy, my name is Megan Morris, fiance of Aggie football offensive coordinator Jake Spavital. Mark your calendars for the Bryan College Station March for Babies on Sunday, May 3rd at Research Park. Take part in the walk that saves babies from premature birth and birth defects. They'll be the easiest steps you and your family will ever take, and you'll have fun too. Join the millions of people who participate to support March of Dimes research and programs to give babies in our community a healthy start in life. Register today at marchforbabies.org. March for Babies is locally sponsored by the College Station Medical Center.
This is Sports Radio 1150 The Zone. All A&M. All the time. Texas Radio mornings 9 to 11. To listen live online to all your favorite shows, visit Zone1150.com. This is Sports Radio 1150 The Zone. All A&M. All the time. Texas Radio mornings 9 to 11. To listen live online to all your favorite shows, visit Zone1150.com.
Master plan. Death with the record. Death with the record. Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I dig deep up, still coming up with lint. So I start.
Welcome back.
Leave my residence.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. Cease. I'm excited. We've been going to record this for a while, and I finally got around to doing it this week.
Okay.
And as everyone that listens to the show on Fridays knows, we like to have a little fun with things. And so a while back, we stumbled across doing news, out-of-this-world news on Fridays. And we decided to have a segment about this each Friday. And now we finally got a jingle to go with the segment. So without any further ado, Cease, it's time for Space News.
Space news. It's a theme from my high school song.
You like the
high school graduation? It's pretty good.
You like the space? That's our new space news.
I like it. That's
jingle
good.
Jingle for space news. By the way, today's space news.
Today's space news
is
out in space.
Quite the space news. So no one's really sure why this works.
Okay.
Cease. But NASA has developed an EM drive, an electromagnetic drive, that seems to be working. They can't really figure out. A lot of people have said it. Well, a lot of physicists and different people have said this is impossible. There's no way that this thing should work. And NASA tested it last year and it worked. And they said, okay, well, it worked because it wasn't in a vacuum. It wouldn't work in space. It's only working because it's accelerating particles, not in a vacuum. So they tried it in a vacuum and it still works. Now, why does this matter? Because an EM drive can go pretty fast. If this thing works, theoretically, it could get us to the moon quicker than you can fly from L.A. to New York.
Wow. We could be the first show on the moon.
Yeah.
That's space news. Would be great.
Yeah. We could do news in space, which would be the ultimate. So,
and it can recruit on the moon.
Yeah. It's a little early. This thing's a long way away.
Man, wow.
Yeah. We're not going to be able to do it anytime soon. But
maybe the Big 12 title game could be on the moon.
Yeah. That would be neutral field. So anyway, the thing, it's on io9.com, but this EM drive, potentially cool news. It's a little ways down the road, but an electromagnetic drive, it doesn't require fuel, all these kind of, some sort of fuel. But
I'm just glad my tax money's gone to good use then.
Yeah. We have double space news today.
Oh, double.
Yeah, and I feel bad that you just mentioned that. Because this isn't current tax money, but old tax money. So you might have contributed to this. The NASA Messenger space probe finally crashed into Mercury yesterday.
Oh.
It's been orbiting for a while and ran out of fuel, and it crashed.
Why didn't they send them some fuel, more fuel?
Well, it's out around Mercury, so
gas is cheap, so you could have sent it up there. That's not bad. So we should be planning putting the flag at half mask out front.
Yeah. For the Mercury.
Show the we're with space news all the way.
The NASA Messenger finally crashed down. But it was out there going for a while. Got us some good photos of Mercury to show us what's going on. Its last transmission was a photo of a crater. on Mercury.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say it's a photo of John Sharp or something. I didn't know.
No, that would be amazing if they aimed it back at the planet.
That would be. Showing Kyle Field.
Yeah.
Its last shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would seem like to be a waste of the technology, but
nah, not
it
really.
Still would have been something. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. That's today's space
news. Double space
we
news.
We might have new, you know, propulsion in the future and poor NASA messenger finally crashed.
Are they selling tickets to those moon flights? You got to wait.
Well,
they'll take deposits.
You can. They are selling tickets potentially for to go into orbit. You can't go to the moon, but you're supposed to be here pretty soon. Virgin Galactic and what all. You're supposed to be able to go into orbit here pretty soon.
Maybe we could sponsor that too.
Maybe. All right, we got to go to the big break. When we come back, Scott Clendenin is going to join us, and we're going to talk about A&M Tennessee. The Aggies need to win this series, but more than that, they need to look good doing it, Cease. I think the people...
They need a sweep.
The people aren't jumping off the wagon, but the people want... You know,
they
not,
need to sweep.
They want to feel good again. They want to feel like they can win the whole thing. They want to see the Aggies look good. We will ask Scott if that's going to happen this weekend. And movie time is coming up. We had the Avengers Age of Ultron on movie time. So come back. Second hour, you will not want to miss it. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Spend your lunch at the tap or listening on The Zone. Don't miss the Bulletin each Monday and Thursday at noon with Bryce and Billy at the tap. This is Aggieland's home for sports. KZNE and KNDE HD3 College Station Bryan.
Jackerman, for all the hype about the draft last night.